Grace and peace in the name of Jesus, our Christ. To all who have joined us for worship, whether in person or online, on this, the 8th day of August, 2021, I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, along with our worship team, production staff, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. Our special musicians today are Barb and Jerry Fuller, along with Deanne McCormick, and our liturgist is Gail Sawyer. Today, our theme includes the continuing narrative of King David with successful leadership on the military front, but dismal failure in his increasingly dysfunctional family. But although he paid a very dear and tragic price for his successful military leadership, we also learn that God was with him always and shall always be with us, even in the worst of our own failures and or dysfunction. It is painfully difficult to announce the temporary suspension of our coffee hour in the Friendship Center of our church following worship. We have been faithfully following the CDC protocols to mitigate the potential effects of COVID-19, and we trust that you've all seen the news, so we are making every effort to keep the church doors open, yet with the utmost attention to the safety of everyone. With that, we are asking everyone to maintain social distance and wear a mask during this time when you're inside the building. The current protocols in place during our worship service will remain. Remember, the COVID virus is novel and is always a moving target for scientists and epidemiologists. Those who track the virus and study the data are learning along with us. So it can be frustrating, but certainly frustrating for church life. I just admit that as a pastor. It's been discouraging. But we have to remember, as we will be reminded today, that God is and shall be always with us. This Tuesday evening is National Night Out for Neighborhoods, and our neighborhood, Luton Rich, will be celebrating with a picnic beginning at 6 o'clock, going until 9 o'clock p.m. It will be held at the corners of Woodview, Colonial Plaza, and Hampton in the yard of our great neighborhood president, Patty Farhat, who is a friend, very much so, of Mayflower Church. So hot dogs will be provided, and all you have to do is bring your lawn chairs. Yours truly will be there with Deanne to represent Mayflower Church. And even if you are not a resident of this neighborhood, we as members and friends of Mayflower Church are all residents of this neighborhood, and we are all encouraged to attend if you can. So if you can be there, we'll enjoy a hot dog together, and you can watch me eat my favorite mustard and onions. I'm sure you have a favorite too. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, with visitation preceding at 2 o'clock, there will be a service of remembrance for Sarah Lou Chamberlain, longtime beloved member of Mayflower Church who was 101 years of age, more than halfway to her 102nd birthday. And I hope many of you can be here for that. Others will be joining us. And while there has been a previously planned fellowship event in our Friendship Center to which all are invited, we are continuing the mass protocol and strongly encourage everyone to exercise social distancing. The placement of chairs have been strategic in there. But what we're really looking forward is to say a Mayflower goodbye to a beloved member, Sarah Lou. And then this Saturday at 2 o'clock, another service will be held for another longtime faithful and loving member of our congregation, Ruth Lewis, who is just a short distance away from her 100th birthday. And family members will be coming in from out of town. The Mayflower family is encouraged to be here. Once again, the mask and social distancing protocols will be in place, but we'll look forward. We don't look forward to people's death, but when death occurs, we look forward, especially when people have been so wonderful and faithful to God and to the Mayflower Church. We look forward to the celebration of life, and that will, again, be twice this week. 2 weeks from today, on August the 22nd, Deanne and I will be away on vacation which has now become a tradition with beloved brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Paul and Beth Patton, who will be joining us for worship next Sunday, and we'll be leaving. If you just want to say goodbye to us, we're leaving on vacation. But we'll be here Sunday, and then 2 weeks from today, this pulpit will be filled by a very special guest and a great friend of mine, Reverend Art Ritter, who is the vice moderator, soon to be moderator of our national organization, and recently retired pastor of the Meadowbrook Congregational Church in Novi, Michigan. So he's looking forward to being here, and I trust that some of you will want to be here too, even when the day when the, as they say, the cat's away. I have loved how this congregation has always welcomed others into this pulpit, including my brother-in-law, but I'm sure that will be the same for Art Ritter. Finally, remember our date at the Lansing Lugnuts in the clubhouse on August the 28th. The price is $39, which includes a buffet meal. Immediately following the game, there will be fireworks. It's something we all look forward to every year. Couldn't do it last year, but we're going to do it this year. The deadline is looming, so get your money in as soon as you can if you plan to go. And now it is time to worship God.
Good morning, Mayflower. It's great to see everyone and here, and on happy Sunday to you online. Sunday is always a special day for Christians who typically worship on the first day of the week. Welcome to worship at Mayflower Church. It is the middle of summer, and it is hot and humid today. We thank God for air conditioning, which helps us focus on eternal things and that which is beyond ourselves. So we take this moment to acknowledge others who have gathered here in this sanctuary, as well as those who have gathered online. And we will consider it a success if you feel we have made every effort for all of us to encounter God through our music, our liturgy, prayer, and the spoken word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and merciful Lord, we have experienced many obstacles recently due to time-honored and treasured traditions of church life. The road back has been painfully slow with new obstacles looming, so we pray for an end to the pandemic and wisdom for all the difficult decisions ahead. And help us to remember, with our theme today, that the worldly standard of success does not necessarily work for success in our spiritual lives and in the life of our church. Help us to look beyond the ideas of career and money, to think about the importance of family life, including our church family, which we so treasure. Give us discernment in the decisions we make at the intersections of our temporal obligations and responsibilities and our spiritual well-being. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
That, if you didn't know, it was a favorite of Ruth Lewis. That number will be repeated this Saturday as we share in remembrance for another life well lived that has graced our presence for many years here at Mayflower Church. I just happened to notice these flowers. Barb, are you responsible for these flowers today?
They came out of our garden.
They came out of your garden, and I somehow think that it's related to the colorful personality of your mother, Sarah Lou. As you probably know by now, the protocol, at least for the time being, for offering our plates that are at the front and rear of the sanctuary. But the giving and receiving of tithes and offerings dedicated to God are not a financial report, a spreadsheet, a bottom line, or a scorecard. They are a sacred act of worship. Let us now offer ourselves to God as we ask God's blessing upon the gifts to God from the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
Let us now pray. Gracious God and loving Lord, we admit that one thing transcends most everything else on our minds today, and that is the precipitous rise and infections of the Delta variant, which is increasing everywhere. Oh Lord, this terrible pandemic is not over yet, and we sometimes wonder where God is in all of this. Help us to admit that we don't know. But help us also to affirm our trust in you, even as we must put some of our plans, whether personal or corporate, on hold, including some important and vital ministries of the church. Give us patience, O Lord, even if we have to have a little patience with you. We believe. Help thou our unbelief. Be with us all today as we celebrate and remember our beloved Sarah Lou Chamberlain. We thank you for her life and her faithful witness to so many, including us who are gathered here this morning. We remember those who remain high on our prayer lists. Linda Williams, Betty Ludke, Joanne Herbin Snow, the family of Laura Anderson, the family of John Rolfe, Terry Graham, Sheila Rembrandt, Phil Chamberlain, Paula Kay, Kara Davis, and those others we may have forgotten or we didn't know about, and certainly those whom we mention now by first name. Lord, you know the needs that are upon our hearts. You also know the needs of our own hearts, and we offer them to you in full knowledge of your patient and loving care over our souls, being the guardian and the shepherd. So, Lord, help us to emulate by your example, to be an example to others in love and care and faithfulness, including the prayers we make during the week and the prayer we share together each and every Sunday morning. Help us to pray now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 18, verses 5 through 9, verse 15, and verses 31 through 33. Life can sometimes present terrible dilemmas. King David felt his military exploits were important in his God-given role as leader of Israel. He experienced victory in battle, yet with the tragic consequence of the death of his son Absalom. How do we navigate this? Hear now these words. The king gave orders to Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders concerning Absalom. So the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. The men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the slaughter there was great on that day, 20,000 men. The battle spread over the face of all the country, and the forest claimed more victims that day than the sword. Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak. His head caught fast in the oak, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. And 10 young men, Joab's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. Then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "Good tidings for my lord the king, for the Lord has vindicated you this day, delivering you from the power of all who rose up against you." The king, that is King David, said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" The Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to do you harm be like that young man." Then King David was deeply moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would that I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our strength and our rock. Amen. Another one of these gory stories in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's hard to find good news when you read the Old Testament. It was a horrible price that David paid for his military success. We live in a success-oriented world. And here's what the renowned theologian Henry Nouwen has said, and I quote, "Beneath all the great accomplishments of our time, there is a deep current of despair. While efficiency and control are the great aspirations of our society, the loneliness, isolation, lack of friendship and intimacy, broken relationships, boredom, feelings of emptiness and depression, and a deep sense of uselessness fill the hearts of millions of people in our success-oriented world." End quote. A few years ago, while I lived in Seattle, I had a rare opportunity. During the winter months, when the tour business was a little down, I worked part-time for a limousine transportation company. On one occasion, the owner of that company, who I knew very well, called me and asked if I would want to pick up Robin Williams at his hotel and transport him to the popular downtown comedy club where he was scheduled to perform. And I jumped at the chance. When I pulled up to the hotel, I mentioned to the desk clerk that I was there to pick up Robin Williams. So a call was made to his room. I waited, and a few minutes later, he appeared along with his personal assistant stepping out of the elevator. When we got to the car, he asked me to wait for him as he went kitty-corner across the street to the ATM at the bank. I assumed, correctly, that he was getting some cash for my tip. Then he made his way to the other corner, to the Starbucks, to get a coffee. I stood there looking inside the Starbucks. When he arrived at the counter, the excited barista announced to the entire staff as she ran back and said, "It's Robin Williams." And they all came, and all the customers in the store came to see that it was Robin Williams in a Starbucks store in that corner. Well, there was quite a bit of pandemonium, as you could see right through the windows. And Robin graciously greeted them before he left, And then he walked back across the street toward me. And as he crossed the street, there were four people in the crosswalk moving in the opposite direction. One of the four, who was actually the youngest, very obviously, whirled around and enthusiastically announced to the other three, "Hey, that's Robin Williams." The other three turned around, looked, and said, "Nah, that's not Robin Williams. He's too short." Do you know how tall Robin Williams was? About 5'5". He continued to press his case, but to no avail, and they walked on. I was quite amused, seeing firsthand what this well-known and beloved celebrity had to go through just to get a cup of coffee and cross the street. I decided to change my plan. I wanted to tell him that Mrs. Doubtfire was one of my favorite movies ever. We watched it recently. I just think that was one of the greatest performances, as probably many of you do. And I definitely wanted to get his autograph, but I decided to be totally respectful and drive him to the venue without initiating any conversation or requesting an autograph. Can you imagine that I did that? I actually called him Mr. Williams, drove him to the venue, dropped him off behind the club in the alley so he would not be noticed. I told him that when it was over, I would pick him up and return him to the hotel. When I drove to the rear of the facility after the performance, I expected him to walk out the back entrance where once again he would not be noticed. And my plan would be that I would simply open the car door and whisk him back to the hotel. But it didn't exactly work out that way. There was a large group of giddy people waiting with cameras, pen and paper, and signs which indicated adulation for their beloved celebrity. I had to wait for about 10 minutes, and I admit that I was a little impatient with some of those people, but Robin Williams graciously took the time and effort to greet his adoring fans, sign autographs, and wave before he got back into the car. When he got back into the car, he said something to me I will never forget. He said, "These are the most loyal fans I have. I see them everywhere I go, or ones like them. They pay the bills. They are the ones who make it all worthwhile." From there, it was an uneventful ride back to the hotel. He was probably dead tired and likely didn't want to hear from a talkative limo driver. So I dutifully drove him back. He got out, handed me a $40 tip for a 10-minute ride each way, and said thank you. I've never regretted the respect I showed him, especially as we all observed the downward spiral of his life that tragically ended in suicide not long after those unforgettable moments I spent with one of the greatest comedians and actors of our time. Now, while I cannot speak with any particular knowledge or unique insight, I would venture to say that in some sense he was a victim of his own success. Being a successful, popular, and beloved celebrity has its price. Now, we have all dreamed of fame and fortune, have we not? Or if you haven't, you just probably haven't admitted it. Have you ever imagined what you would do if you won the lottery? What house you would build, what car you would drive, what stress would be relieved, how your family would benefit, or indeed what percentage or amount of the winnings you would donate to Mayflower Church. It'd be kind of fun to find out, wouldn't it? Or have you ever dreamed of being an entrepreneur and becoming a billionaire like Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos? Maybe not. Or maybe a singer or an actor, or the list goes on. Regardless of the price, in one way, shape, or form, I think there is some desire within most of us to be successful at some level. And while most of us will not be famous, rich, or powerful, we admire success, and in some way we all strive for it. We want our children and now our grandchildren to be successful, so we sometimes, should I say, mistakenly urge them just to get a good job rather than to follow their dreams. That's a little bit of a paradox, is it not? I went through that when my son announced years ago that his career was going to be in music. I had some misgivings about that because musicians, unless they get awfully lucky and are exceptionally good, don't often make a lot of money. The trouble of this is this. In our quest for success, there really is no end game, except maybe retirement, which can be a disappointment when the motivation and adrenaline to achieve is gone. And in spite of our best efforts, I doubt if many ever really feel that they have enough money when they retire. The price we pay for even modest success is not usually calculated until it is too late. Time set aside to nurture our children and our marriages, build neighborly relationships, give back time to the community, or actively make a difference in the life of the church is often very fleeting, especially in our society. What constitutes success? The dictionary definition is this: the favorable or prosperous termination of attempts or endeavors, the accomplishment of one's goals. How many goals that you set for yourself at age 21 have you achieved? For many, if not most of us, the measurement for success is found in looking back. By the standards of our society, along with the dictionary definition, I don't think my life would be considered successful. I don't have any prestigious degrees beside my name. I haven't made a whole lot of money. I didn't spend the bulk of my adult life in just one career. And I haven't had achievements which have gained notoriety, even though I did make it on the front page of the Seattle Times one time on my climb to Mount Rainier. That was by accident, and my name was not mentioned, but I'm proud of it. I still have a copy. And as a pastor, I've never pastored a large church. I guess I would tell you the greatest success of my life has occurred within the last 10 years. I'm being very personal here. My marriage to Deanne and my tenure here at Mayflower Church constitute some of the best successes of my life. So in a very personal manner, I'm no different than anyone else in my desire for and pursuit of whatever success is, with a few bright spots, but with lots of failure. However, as you might understand, it is a little different standard for success when you factor in what is perceived to be a calling to serve God in the capacity as pastor. Last week, we read and then heard about King David, the man after God's own heart, and called by God for a very specific purpose, committed terrible sins, each one worse than the previous: lust, adultery, forcible sexual relations, deception, cover-up, and finally murder, all about as bad as you can get. Fortunately, an honest and faithful prophet showed up and, through the use of a parable and with a kind spirit, pointed out the error of David's ways and said, "You are the man." Although we are not satisfied with the level of needed restitution, especially to Bathsheba, at least what we do not find in the text, David then repents. He remains popular. He is gifted, and life must go on. In spite of the enormous consequences of sinful behavior, along with all we don't know about David, he continued as a successful military commander and national leader. The text today tells us of a major and important battle which was won. And with those that were anxious to give him the good news, "You've won the battle." That sounds pretty good to a military commander. But the problem with the good news was that it accompanied some very bad news. And it was the death of his son Absalom. His son had turned against him and was fighting on the opposite side, like happened many times, especially during our own civil war. An important victory had been achieved, but a terrible tragedy occurred in David's family, which by this time had become terribly dysfunctional. David's grief is palpable. Such is the story of Israel with the many heroes of our faith, and unfortunately in our own lives and the life of our church as well. Paradoxes and ironies, triumphs and tragedies, and successes and failures abound. And what to make of this? How do we interpret stories which are filled with so many unanswerable questions concerning the intentions and motivations of a loving God, Politics among warring nations and personalities, though gifted, get in the way of what we think God wants to achieve. In reading the entirety of Samuel's two books that were never meant to be two, we see first a barren woman whose name was Hannah, who gave birth to the prophet of God's future for Israel, and his name was Eli. Next, a Philistine victory turned to a Philistine defeat without human help. Remember the story of the ark? And then a king demanded by the people, yet chosen to be God's anointed one, Saul. And then a reminder that even a God-anointed king can be rejected for unfaithfulness, as was the case with Saul. And then an eighth son of an obscure family who became the future of Israel, David. That same son who became the greatest and most beloved king, and indeed its most successful king, yet judged by God and brought terrible tragedy to his family. All these narratives are unlikely and sometimes a little unbelievable, especially the story of the ark if you read it. Yet the narratives of Samuel, including today's narrative, are always placed within the framework of divine providence. In the historical sense, God's providence was at work in the shaping of Israel's future as a nation, which has survived many centuries of conflict and strife, yet remains a major player upon the world stage in 2021. But for our purposes this morning, I would like to make it a little more personal. I can only put my arrival at Mayflower into the perspective of divine providence. In many ways, it was a one in a million chance that this marriage between pastor and people would have occurred. And yet it happened. And I will admit from day one that I have wanted this church to succeed, hoping that it would not just become a successful or a desire for me to be successful. But we have worked together to experience some success, which is now being threatened by things beyond our control. As you know, we are an older church and we are experiencing the loss of faithful members. Our memories of those dear people are fresh. Fortunately, we have tough survivors in this church, many of who have lived and still live into their 90s and beyond. Today, we will say goodbye to our oldest member ever, Sarah Lou Chamberlain, who graced this congregation with her love of music and unforgettable personality, and who was heading for her 102nd birthday before she died, thankfully, peacefully. This Saturday, we will remember Ruth Lewis, almost 100 before she passed, and who loved this church dearly and supported it faithfully. Laura Anderson also died recently, another beloved and faithful member whose memory is treasured and whom we hope to be able to remember her in some kind of a service. Time moves along. People die, and that is to be expected, especially in an older church like ours. But in all of our desire to bring new people into the church, the pandemic has curtailed some of our traditions, fundraising, and outreach opportunities. Linda Farmer Lewis, our beloved assistant, is now serving another church, and we celebrated with her and continue to do so, even as we look forward to her service of installation. The Delta variant now raises its ugly head, and new restrictions will put a dent into some of our plans. But in the narration of Samuel concerning the central figure David, the central theological motive, or motif, if you will, is that God was with him. Perhaps the price of success for us and for me is patience. God, give us patience. God is with you. God is with me. Indeed, God is with all of us, Mayflower, no matter what. As I look around, I just want to say that your presence in the service during these times means the absolute world to me. And I will pause for just a little bit at the back of the church, and even if we can't fellowship in our traditional way, we can express some love and thanks to each other as God gives us grace. God is still shaping our lives. God is shaping our church. God is shaping our future. And God is shaping our eternity. Take heart, Mayflower. God is with us. Thanks be to God. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.